Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and BaltimorePositive.com. We appreciate you tuning us in wherever you are. I mean, people say YouTube or Instagram or somewhere out on the internet or at Baltimore Positive or at AM 1570, wherever it is. Come find us on Friday. Find us celebrating our birthdays. Luke is turning 40 and I'm turning 20-something yet again next week. On Friday, the 11th, will be Pizza John's. I will have the Ravens scratch-offs to give away. Been a lucky batch. We had a bunch of winners at Costas. We had big winners at Fadley's 2 weeks ago. And great conversations about the Capital Center. You'll be hearing various points this week. We were planning on following all things Orioles to New York this week, and we had the Cincinnati game. We had things going on. And Luke, instead, it'll just be Washington at Baltimore for all the marbles, all the bragging rights for 4 years. We get to do that. But before we do that, we're doing all sorts of afterthoughts and aftercare on it. Really, would you say an unlikely win in Cincinnati? When you're losing by 10 points with 8 minutes left to go on the road, you don't expect to win that kind of game, especially the way the defense was playing. And we've beaten up Justin Tucker. I haven't. I mean, I know how hard it is to make a 55-yard field goal. I'm, you know, and I know how hard it is when you get older and things start to slow down a little bit and things start to change a little bit, including your ego and perspective on things. In regard to Justin Tucker, I'm not shocked he's winning games. I still think he might win 3 Super Bowls here. I'm not down on that, but give the dude a chance. And the greatest example of that would be Evan McPherson, who missed the big kick in the game, and it wasn't about that at all. It was about the hold, and I don't know that we've given Sam Cook props for not just the fact that he threw touchdown passes, came from Nebraska, celebrated the final Ravens live show in a hell of a series we had going here for about a quarter of a century, our last ever guest. I don't know how many times he did that, but the operation, that's John Harbaugh, you know, special teams coach, would say the operation, the operation, the operation. Ravens got the operation, won the football game, and hopefully cleared the head of the Hall of Fame kicker.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it's all about. I mean, we've acknowledged that, okay, Justin Tucker's not 25 years old anymore, but he's not 44 either. I mean, this isn't Adam Vinatieri at the very end of his career, or, you know, go through the list of Martin Anderson. Or
George Blanda. I'm giving you Blanda. Sure. You look that one up. There you go.
Sure. So it's not as though, I mean, if we want to sit here and say maybe he doesn't have the range that he did 10 years ago, okay, but if you look at these kicks, it's not like he was coming up short, right? He talked
when
about
when he can't
this.
Hit 50 yarders, he's not a kicker anymore. I don't know that he's going to hit 70 yarders, right? But I mean, 48 yarder, 52 yarder, I feel like he's automatic. I feel like he's not going to miss that kick.
Well, but the issue has been, it's been a mechanical issue. And John Harbaugh talked about this a couple weeks ago when he had the miss against the Raiders at that point in time, or maybe the Cowboys. I can't remember which. But we've talked about it. He's struggled from beyond 50 yards the last couple of years. I still think we need a little more nuance than that to really look at those kicks. I mean, some of those kicks were blocked. Some of those kicks were really long at the end of the half, right? So the truth is always in the middle. I certainly needed to be better than what we've seen from beyond 50 yards, especially when you look at the landscape of the league. And we saw this recently with Brandon Aubrey, the catcher or the kicker of the Cowboys, who hit a 65 yarder against the Ravens casually in the first quarter. Right. I mean, so you see that there's some talented young kickers in this league, but at the same time, again, when you looked at these misses, it's not like Justin Tucker was coming up short from 53 yards. He was missing most of these kicks wide left. So he's been working on trying to clean up his mechanics in the same way that a pitcher would, in the same way that a hitter would with his swing. I mean, it happens. So I'm in agreement with you from the standpoint of some patience was warranted. At the same time, Justin Tucker be the first to tell you, he needs to be able to make kicks, you know, especially when we were talking about here recently, he had even missed one wide left from inside 50 yards. So I think this is huge for his confidence. I think this is exactly what he needed. It's certainly what the Ravens needed to tie the game with a minute 35 to go on Sunday afternoon. I mean, ideally, what we saw Sunday is kind of what you want. You don't want to have to rely on Justin Tucker all day long. The Ravens scored 5 touchdowns. You know, they've been very good in the red zone so far this year. But if you're in a position where he needs to make a kick and he needs to make a long kick, certainly was reassuring to see him make that kick. And there was even some win to speak of as well. John Harbaugh even noted that in his post-game press conference. So good to see. Hopefully this becomes less of a talking point moving forward now. Hey, it's always you're only as good as your last kick, right? In the same way that, in baseball, we talk about momentum, and momentum's only as good as the next day's starting pitcher. So the challenge will be there the next time Justin Tucker has a long kick to make. But the Ravens needed that, no doubt. And they needed their defense to get the stop that they did after that kick, because the Bengals and Burrow had more than enough time to put themselves in position, but the Ravens defense was able to tighten up there at the end of regulation. So good to see. Hopefully that's something we can stop talking about, at least in the terms that we were. Again, it wasn't something that was a nothing, but
They're
at the
not
same
bringing out
time,
the ink kickers for
right,
triumphs.
exactly. I mean, this wasn't to that point, right? I mean, it was a case where, yeah, he needs to make those, and
But
he'd
if
be
he
the first to
misses
tell
two
you
kicks
that.
and they lose, and we're here talking about 2 and 3, it starts to stack up as to
Right.
is this good enough and where is he? Is he Steve Sachs? Whatever that would be, right?
Right.
And he is a confident young man, a man who works off the confidence of his fried chicken ads and his Pepsi, his Dr. Pepper, and he's a goat, and he's a man of the people, and he's a singer, and he's like, I hear all of that. He never missed kicks for a decade, and once you start, it happened to Willie Mays, dude. It happens to everybody, right? I mean, it happened to Cal Ripken. It happens to everybody where it slows down a little bit to begin with. I know this being. It's going to slow down more for me next week. It's my birthday this week. But I want to stay on special teams with you for a minute because we're going to get the defense and we got the whole week and we're going to get the Baltimore, Washington, and this kid from, from Commanders land, the three Commanders fans I still have left, they do use the R word and I still do. I call the freaking Guardians by the other name and I say tribe and I say all sorts of things that I probably shouldn't say and I'm working on it as I get older. But the special teams part of this, and Harbaugh, he only got really crappy with me once or twice in a private space where we were together. And when you refer to him as a special teams coach, he burrs up. And I think that's the special sauce in everything he's done for 20 years. At least that's what Bisciotti sold me when he brought him in, as saying he touches everybody. He's a man of the people, special teams coach. He had an operation here. If he goes to the Hall of Fame, if John's going to the Hall of Fame, the kicker's going first, right? The punter he had here is so good he can't get rid of him. He has him out on campus. They selected another punter that they feel like's a 10-year punter, right? That they don't want to be changing holders, kickers, snappers. Randy Brown is, there'll be pallbearers on each. They're lifers. He, right? I mean, like literally the mayor, the Jersey mayor, and like all of that, right? So John does love that part of the operation. And if he's listening and I'm insulting you, I'm not trying to. I have plenty of things I can insult John Harbaugh about. His special teams coaching is not one of them. I think it's a strength. And it was a strength of this operation that you could kick 65 yards. You talk revolution with Lamar. John doesn't know enough about offense to create a revolution. He has to bring in geniuses for offense. He's a special teams genius. And I think the weird part of the kicking game now being taken away and the kickoffs being taken away, John spent 10 years of his life up all night trying to figure out how to make a lane to return a kick or how to plug a kick to make sure they get the ball in the 14 and not the 20 if they run it out. So, like, John put a lifetime of work into getting this job by being as good a special teams coach as there's ever been, literally. And the game, that part of the game is shrinking to that point. But when you see the operation go wrong and it costs them an opportunity to win the game, and then your kid can kick from anywhere on the field, pretty much. We went through that a minute ago. To see the other team lose because of not getting the handle right. That's something we never worried about around here with the operation. The operation had a name that every fan will remember. They didn't even have to read Purple Rain 2, although I do recommend it. It's a nice piece of fiction at this point. But they had a name. They had Wolfpack. They had a name. That's how good their special team. And it didn't change for a decade. And they won a Super Bowl and they won games. I mean, they could have won a couple more if things would have gone the right way, right? And especially in the aftermath of Billy Cundiff, right? John lost the chance to go to the Super Bowl, A, because he kept the timeout. We went through that in the last segment, but they missed a massive kick that was a very makeable kick for a chance to stay on board. It wasn't the one the game. I want to go back, get the math right. Now I was at the game. But I think special teams so important, man. And we don't talk about it enough. And we don't talk about how good John is at it because he doesn't like that because that pigeonholes him. But we've gotten really, really accustomed to having a goat special teams here. And I think that if you gave Steve Bisciotti two or three beers and had a chat with him about that, he'd say, on the cigar, that's part of the magic. You know, special teams, we don't think about that around here. We just have the best. We have the best. And they did, and they do, and they won the game. And the other team lost the game because of special teams. And I don't know that we sit around and talk much about it, but I think that kicking part of the game being taken away, how important it is to block a punt or have one blocked, and they don't punt a lot here because they go on fourth. You know what I mean? Like, it's weird. And a couple weeks ago, they lost the game because they didn't have good special teams. I mean, Stout poofed the punt, they missed kicks, and they lost because of it.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, for all of your praise of the special teams and the operation on Sunday to make a 56-yarder, their special teams have been pretty bad so far this year. I mean, that's kind of, you know, and let's be clear. As much as you hear about the three phases, special teams isn't weighted as much as offense or defense. We know that. You know, it's probably more so. And I've even heard some people kind of break it down as like 3/7 offense, 3/7 defense, or even sometimes, you know, some people would say offense weighted a little more than defense because defense is a little less predictive over the long haul. But special teams is more like, you know, a seventh, right? You know,
Until
if
you
you want to
get it
break it,
wrong.
right? Well, sure, of course. But my point was that their special teams have been choppy so far this year. So it was great to see that. You know, they did have a punt that they let roll inside the 5-yard line that Derrick Henry ended up, you know, being tackled in the end zone for a safety. So it's still something. It's gotten better the last couple of weeks, but that's something they want to clean up. But it's important, sure. And it's something the Ravens have placed emphasis on. I mean, I couldn't tell you over the years the number of times where people were kind of expecting one backup player at a given position to make it over another because they said, okay, well, he's a better cornerback than that guy, or he's a better wide receiver than that guy that he's vying for, you know, a roster spot with, competing for a roster spot against. But you know, the other guy ended up being the better special teams player. And when you're talking about the bottom six guys on the roster, typically special teams are going to weigh into that, and they're going to weigh heavily at times. And at the very least, it's going to be the tiebreaker. Even if you have two guys at wide receiver who are pretty comparable there, or even one guy might be slightly better as a actual receiver, they'll take the guy who's a better special teams player.
Yeah, but
And,
there's
you know, we.
also, I mean, in the history of this franchise, going back to Brian, yeah, I'll throw it to Brian and even to Ted Marchibroda when he had Brian Kinchen around and players like that. I mean, I was going to say, you and I could have a fun game here if I said Cornell Brown and you said Anthony Levine. And I, you know, and we could go through and play that game, not just with Jermaine Lewis and, you know, the Hall of Famer, you know, Devin Hester, who was here for a minute, but this special teams is a really important part of John Harbaugh's mind. It ain't 1/7 in John's mind. How about that? And I don't, you know, and over the course of the balance of the operation here for 17 years, this has been a really, really big part. And if John ever has a bust and they take him out to Canton and I give the speech and welcome him in, maybe because Jim's unavailable, I don't know, but the special teams part of it would be the basis of everything that they do here. And I do think part of it's been taken away. And I do think it hasn't been as good this year. But I do think that part you're talking about, the roster building part of who do I want on the team? Those are the blood and guts guys that Gary Stills. You know what I mean? I just go through these names of guys that were 3 to 5 year Ravens because they could do that job well. And I think part of it is spinning the ball, snapping the ball, just all of these things that we just take for granted. I don't even remember these guys' names when they're a part of this. John Harbaugh remembers their names and gets them gold watches and sends them steak dinners. And, you know, they're as important to him as the running back to some degree.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know about that. the running back, or certainly not the quarterback, but yeah, it's important. I mean, it obviously is. And they've been really, really good over the years. You know, they got off to a slow start this year. And I think my gut, my expectation is it will get better as the year goes on because they do place an emphasis on it, because they do think it's important. So, you know, it was great to see them make the kick that they did, in contrast to what happened with Cincinnati's operation, as they, you know, keep in mind their holder was a rookie. And you know, the rookie punter, and he dropped the ball. Wasn't the best snap in the world either, but I mean, that was certainly, for all the talk about Zach Taylor, and I'll continue to say Zach Taylor was gutless in how he handled the end of that football game, with that play calling. But that, you know, 53 yarder is not a 65 yarder either. So in this day and age, that's a kick, as we've said with Justin Tucker here in recent weeks, you gotta make that. So certainly a breakdown for Cincinnati's operation, and the Ravens, when they needed to make a long kick to tie the game late, they were able to do that.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find both of us out. We'll be breaking down some postseason stuff. We're going to have some fun in social media with baseball a little bit this week, as well as our birthdays. We're going to be at Pizza John's on Friday. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Also, the Oyster Tour is up and running. You'll find all of that out at Baltimore Positive, as well as on our social media. Been eating a lot of oysters. It's oyster season around here. It's an important part of our Chesapeake Bay. And I'm getting educated from the Oyster Recovery Partnership, all brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. That's 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. They do water, pure and simple, as the ad out of Baltimore Positive says. If you need plumbing, if certainly well water, they're a specialist in that, making sure that I'm drinking and imbibing clean, safe water in my home. Please make sure that's so important. You got that green stuff going on. 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. Also, our friends at Curio Wellness and Far and Daughter. Big appreciation to Wendy, who joins us every week or there. She's a little bummed out this week with the Orioles going away, but we did have a good time at Maritime Magic on Friday night on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation. Just staying on Tucker for a minute, and staying on special teams, and staying on offense and how it leads to special teams, and how fourth downs, either a punt or a go for it, in whatever situation you're in, situationally, and where they are right now with this offense, do you feel great about them getting 1 yard on, like staying out of punt situations? Because in a perfect game, they don't punt the ball ever, right? Like, we talk special teams, but the one time they have to punt, it better be 67 yards, right? And but they feel like a fourth down team from almost anywhere on the field, and that changes their special teams, but it also changes the operation of what they have to be able to do. And you mentioned allowing the ball to roll down to the 1 yard line, and you're like, well, that's okay. We got Derrick Henry up 2 points. I made the mistake during that of like going down and getting some food. I had some leftovers around here of the other night. Leonard Raskin had a crab feast, so we had some beautiful crabs. I'm like getting food. I came up and I'm seeing the safety. My wife's like, you may, and I can rewind it, whatever. And I'm like, how the hell did that happen? And I would just say, like, this was least likely to have a safety, but that's the offensive line too.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a bold strategy when no one blocks Sam Hubbard. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I don't know if that was Falele or what Rosengarten was doing there. I mean, I guess Ricard had a chance. I think Ricard was on the field there. I mean, if I'm mistaken on that, I apologize. But yeah, I mean, look, you asked me about the short yardage. I mean, how could you not feel good about it? And it's not even just, I mean, Derrick Henry, when you talk about Derrick Henry run between the tackles, that's not his greatest strength, despite the fact that he's 250 pounds. Not saying he can't do it. And we've seen him pick up short yardage, but when he's special, it's on the edge, right? We saw that all on the final play. But between Derrick Henry, Patrick Ricard blocking, Lamar Jackson and his ability to just keep it. You know, we've seen the Ravens run QB power and things like that over the years in short yardage situations. Justice Hill, you know, even if you want to, even though you're typically not going to think of Justice Hill lining up at running back when it's third and one, fourth and one. And yeah, I mean, you should feel really good about that. And I mean, even on Sunday, I mean, their running game was not a, you know, their design running game wasn't a major factor of what they were able to do, because Cincinnati really sold out as much as they did to stop Derrick Henry. I mean, keep in mind, I mean, he had 14 carries for 41 yards until the final long run, which, by the way, if you go back and look at that, I mean, Derrick Henry gets the glory for 51 yards, but Go look at the blocks that Ronnie Stanley, Patrick McCary, Patrick Ricard, and Tylan Wallace made on that play. Shout out to Tylan Wallace, who doesn't get much run as a wide receiver, but made some plays. You know, you even saw him as a receiver, you know, make a key catch.
That's
So
an incredible fan. That's an emergence, right? Like, 90% of the fans didn't even know he's on the team. You talk about special teams and guys they drafted, and how many Devin Duvernays and how many Clarence Moores and how, you know, we can go through how many threes and fours didn't make it here and never really made any impact. Where are you on? You loved him in the beginning, but he's been a little bit of a mystery, and now. I mean, Aguilar too, right? I mean, like, I look at the wide receiving core here beyond Zay, and they're all big question marks. Bateman as well. They all got involved, and maybe that's part of the Bengals were out there running around with their taxi squad, literally. I mean, the Bengals, when we come down to how much Lamar passed for and how many yards and all that stuff, the Bengals are really playing short-assed on the back end after the defensive front was just coming back to some degree, that the Bengals are finding themselves in last place as well this morning, but the defense of the Bengals is decimated.
yeah, it's not very good even when they're at full strength. So yeah, when you take away two of their top three corners, but hey, the Ravens did exactly what they should do because the Bengals, to their credit, they did take away Derrick Henry. I mean, like I said, Derrick Henry was a non-factor in that football game. And then even more so when you're down 10 in the second half and you're running more 2 minute, which Justice Hill is going to be on the field in that situation much more than Derrick Henry. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a Bengals team that has not been good defensively. They were already without Mike Hilton, and then they lost Dax Hill on top of that to a knee injury. So, yeah, they got some guys back up front, but who rushes the passer for them besides Trey Hendrickson? Now, Sam Hubbard had a good game against the run. You know, he certainly had a better game because he was getting a lot. You know, if you look at some of the chatter from Cincinnati, there's been a lot of talk about how bad Sam Hubbard's been. So he had a good game in that way, but
Yeah, where's their
the
Clowney
only guy
Van Noy
that
Owe? Where's
consistently
their
runs.
pass rush? Yeah.
Hendrickson. They have Hendrickson, and that's it, right? And I mean, he got some pressure. You know, that battle between him and Ronnie Stanley was, you know, something that's been a key pivotal kind of matchup in these games in recent years. A better version of Ronnie Stanley at the moment than we've seen for a few years, as we've talked about in recent conversations. But yeah, I mean, I was taking nothing away from what the Ravens did offensively, but you should be able to have success against this team. I mean, that's been a bad defense, and I think that's going to cost them. I mean, it's wild to think how well Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins played and have played the last few weeks since their slow, you know, that week one game where their offense was lousy against New England. Their offense has been quite good since then, but they can't stop anyone. So it was great to see the Ravens be in a position where, okay, Cincinnati stacked the box, did the things they did to slow down the run, did not allow Derrick Henry to beat them until the last play, right? And again, I already said how good the blocking was on the edge there, but then the Ravens went through the air. And to your point, I mean, you know, I don't think Tylan Wallace is suddenly going to become a major part of their offense, but in cases where they were going three or four wide, much more than they have in recent weeks, where they've been able to just basically stay with heavy personnel and just pound the rock against Dallas and against Buffalo, then, you know, it was nice to see Tylan Wallace make a couple catches and do what he did. And nice to see Rashad Bateman had a big game. I mean, he's not a wide receiver, but how about Charlie Kohler? I mean, I'd say he's been way more of an afterthought than Tylan Wallace. I mean, Wallace had the return touchdown, you know, the hero play against the Rams last year. So, you know, he's become more of a household name since then. But, you know, Charlie Kohler's the afterthought in this group of tight ends when you have Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. But Charlie Kohler had more receiving yards than either of those guys on Sunday and had the big 55-yard catch. So it's just, for me, again, we know this is a run-first offense. We understand that, as it should be when you have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and Justice Hill. I'll throw him in there as well. But if you're in a position where the game goes sideways and your defense isn't stopping anyone, and the opposition has done a heck of a job to contain your running game, your vaunted rushing attack, then to be able to go through the air, even against a banged up Cincinnati secondary, acknowledging that was encouraging to me. Again, that was encouraging to me in a big picture sense, because early in the season, we've heard so much about what's the Ravens' identity? What's their identity? What's their identity? And you hear that around the league. You know what the best identity really is, Nestor? It's the ability to win in multiple ways. It's the ability to adjust to what a defense or what the opposing offense is giving you, and your ability to change it up and offer different looks and to win in different ways. And, whether it's a ground first attack where Derrick Henry runs for 200 yards, or whether it's going into 2 minute because you have to, because you're down two scores the entire second half. We've seen the Ravens, in Cincinnati, the win last year in week two. Ravens did quick game in that game, and they did it really well. That's why, you and I have argued a lot, and it's never personal or anything like that, but I've had more of a belief in this passing game's ability than you have. So they validated that on Sunday. Now, that doesn't mean that they should try to do that every single week, in the same way that if Derrick Henry's being stopped some weeks, you shouldn't keep just running into a brick wall either. I mean, you got to adjust. But the mark of a great team is, and we saw this last year, the mark of a great team is being able to win in different ways. Being able to adjust when something's not working, can you pivot to something else? A couple guys get hurt, and that adjusts how you have to play. Can you adjust and go in a different direction? I mean, I'll take a multiple identity. Assuming you can do it well, right? I mean, you don't want to just be different for the sake of being different, but I'll take a team that can be much more multiple on offense or defense, more so than a team that has some ironclad identity that if you shut them down in that way, then they're done, right? I mean, that's not good, right? I mean, there's a way to stop Derrick Henry, to stack the box over and over and over. And the Bengals, they did that pretty effectively in the first half. So for the Ravens to be able to adjust the way that they did and move the ball through the air, and for Lamar Jackson to have the game he did, and my goodness, we haven't given it any oxygen, but his latest completely banana scramble and touchdown throw to Isaiah Likely, I mean, early candidate for play of the year in the NFL. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. To be able to do those things when your running game isn't driving the car, so to speak, and your defense has completely gone sideways. And yeah, your head coach had some head scratching clock management at the end of the first half. So, again, the mark of a great team is to be able to win in different ways. You don't know how it's not going to go to script every week. So for them to win the game that they did, even with their imperfections throughout the game, even with mistakes throughout the game, I was very much encouraged by that. And on the flip side, I mean, Cincinnati, I mean, that offense looked great, but they're 1-4, and they have a defense that really hasn't stopped anyone so far this year. So kind of feels at this point now, just a little over a quarter of the way through the season, these two teams going in opposite directions, even though they played a very close, very exciting football game on Sunday.
He is Baltimore Luke. He's Luke Jones. You can find him anywhere social media is sold. You can find us on Friday together celebrating birthdays. We're going to be at Pizza John's in Essex having pepperoni pizza as well as crab cakes. I love the crinkle cut fries there with gravy. Down Essex, back Riverneck Road. We'll be there Friday afternoon. All courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, always powering us up. Lots of oysters. Had lots of oysters every day for a month last month. 26 days, 26 oysters. I am oysters. I am producing those out online along with some stories and really delicious things that I ate last month that you need to go eat this month, especially now that the Orioles are eliminated. We're watching baseball. We're awaiting the Washington football team's arrival here in Baltimore. That only happens every 8 years, except for those fake football games they have every now and again. Mr. Schneider's gone now. We're going to talk offense, going to talk defense. Luke and I got it going on. The Ravens at 3-2. A part of first place now that the Dallas Cowboys gave us a little bit of help in Pittsburgh the other night with yins and that. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.